if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 340 of BRB UK. That's this show, in case you think you've downloaded something else but haven't. A bit like when you eat something and are expecting one flavour and get another, it's terribly confusing. Happened to me the other day, expecting tuna mayo, got cheese ploughman's. I was quite perturbed. I'm Dan, I'm one of your hosts. Hello! And I'm joined this week by Colban.
Hi!
Hey, we've made Tim go extra extreme with the podcast with no name. Oh, sorry, we've made the podcast with no name go extra extreme about the podcast with no name. He's now the podcast which doesn't exist.
The podcaster with no name is now the podcast with no name and no computer.
Yeah, exactly. I think Tim's exact words were, "F*** off, I'm playing SteamWorld." I think something along those lines.
It's funny because it's a little less obvious in the last couple of weeks, but I've been plagued by technical issues over the last few months.
Uh-huh.
And now I've finally got those in check. Now it's Tim's turn.
Although quite a lot of the technical issues you were facing turned out it was just because you were connected to Tim's network.
Partly, yes. I've left the gremlins at Tim's. Anyone
who's been to Tim's house knows that his front room is where technology just goes to die. Yeah, he's gone through several PlayStations. He likes to blame Red Ring of Death of 18 Xboxes, but I think even that is putting that a bit far.
You know the elephant graveyard in Disney's The Lion King? It's like that, but cables.
Nice. So I suppose we ought to really do a show or something, I know. But it's a bit quiet anyway, to be honest with you, because everyone's getting ready for E3.
Yeah, Tim really took the right week to have off because there was nothing really of note to talk around. Just a couple of points of interest, announcements and release dates, and that's really it. There's been a couple of big stories, big, you know, with quotation marks, and it all kind of leads into the whole...
I have a question.
Yep.
Where are the quotation marks around? Big or stories?
I don't know. I was using my hands. I was using my fingers to do the marks. Yeah.
Good audio.
The bunny ears. Yeah, the bunny ears. You know the ones.
Yeah, entirely.
Yeah. There's been more argument to, hey, video game developers and programmers, they are still subject to crunch, and that is a bad thing, and let's stop doing that. I would argue that crunch is around in many more industries other than video games, and yes, it is a horrible thing.
The cereal industry, for example. Crisps, also a lot of crunch.
The Captain...
Yeah, fresh salad sometimes has a crunch. That's quite nice.
Apple industry.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. All of the crunchage.
Yes. But yes, crunch is bad. Overworking of workers is bad. Forced mandatory overtime is bad.
Yeah, and that's a terrible thing.
Or implied mandatory overtime is also bad. Guilting people to overtime.
Yeah, with the odd, you don't have to work overtime, I suppose. But, you know, everyone else is, and you'd be letting the team down if you didn't. That kind of
That would reflect really well on your upcoming PDR, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, I see you're like not to work 20 hours a day. Well, let me just, I suppose I will have to, you know, I'll just try not to remember that in your annual review. Yeah,
it's like we've both worked in technological backgrounds, Dan.
Yeah, I know, right? Mind you, to be fair, NHS was all crunch all the time, to be fair. It's like, oh my God, everything's going wrong.
ICR was the mandatory overtime without the pay.
so indentured slavery, basically.
Yeah.
Nice. So this is in relation to Mortal Kombat 11?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going around in Mortal Kombat, which you'd expect because it released this week. There are arguments over, hey, the game is really good, but Ronda Rousey is a terrible Sonya Blade. Like, that's one complaint. The other one is that the crypt mode, which they've made look really cool, has a lot of problems with microtransactions or with just general weird connectivity and stuff going on with that. So there's some patches and stuff going on being planned at the moment to fix all that. But then the other thing is apparently there's alleged crunch goings on in that studio as well. So There you go. But then on top of that, it's also popped up at some point that, hey, you know that Fortnite game's pretty popular and they make all those...
What really- game?
Fortnite. I don't know if
Never
you've heard
of it,
Dan. Little indie game.
Never heard of it.
Epic Studios. No. Yeah.
Who were they?
Again, very small indie team. Probably about four or five of them.
Oh, I bet you they're one of these companies that got ahead of themselves and released yet another platform which to buy games.
That's exactly it. yeah. So,
God, when will they learn?
Apparently, Fortnite, as that got really big, and people were going, wow, this is a really good game, and look at all these updates that they're constantly doing. Yeah, apparently there's a lot of crunch time that went into those updates as well. So we're talking like months worth of crunch time.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
So it's not great. Unionize the video game industry.
And then nothing will get done at a rate of sloth ever.
And then Italian mobsters will use it as a racket.
I think we might be taking this a little bit far.
Again, not a lot of news this week.
Not a lot of news this week. I mean, so much so that, I mean, this... I'm going to move to points of interest already.
Okay.
This is a bit of an oxymoron. Points of interest. The first item is Persona 5 Scramble. I couldn't give less of an arse if I tried.
Okay. Well, let me get you up to
speed,
Dan.
Try and intrigue me. Intrigue me, Coleman!
I think this was a story that happened while you were off for a week as well, so you missed first part of this. Atlus were teasing Persona 5S, or P5S. They were doing teasers for that last year, November, December time, I think. And this led to a leak saying that, hey, Persona 5, the PlayStation 4 version, is coming to the Nintendo Switch with some new extras and stuff. And we'll have some jiggery-pokery done to make it work on the platform.
Best kind of pokery.
Yeah. Well, they've actually done an announcement. It's a crossover with Atlus and another studio that they are making Persona 5 Scramble The Phantom Strikers, which is a Mizu spin-off.
I mean, what?
Yeah, I don't know what any of that means. They do tend to make... They'll go, hey, here's Persona's... numbered series, here's Persona numbered series but a side game, and here's Persona dancing or singing or some weird kind of rhythm game that's also tied into that universe, and then maybe a fighting game thrown in there as well.
Right, I'm gonna live watch Japanese trailer. All right, there's Japanese characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's two lines of Japanese. Whoa, there's an emo on a rooftop wearing a mask that's usually seen in people who are engaging in dogging. Then there's robot cops.
Has he got black shaggy hair?
Yes.
That'll be Joker.
Okay, he's standing on top of a street signal thing. Traffic lights, that's what I'm looking for. And there's lots
street
of... street signal thing. It's produced by Omega Force, this game. There's f***ing emus. Seriously, there was an emu. Ah, something in Japanese. RPG. Okay, the emu's wearing a top hat. I've got no idea what's going on. I think I might be having a stroke.
I think you should stop there, Dan.
Okay, well, the good news is that's where the trailer stops.
That's all right, then. Yeah, this will be a side spin-off game that's in the same universe and based off the same game and stuff. But this will release on the Nintendo Switch and the PlayStation 4. No date yet. And it makes sense as well because the character of Joker, who you just described in the start of that trailer, he's recently been released on Smash Brothers as a new character, which was weird for a lot of people because they were like, but we don't have a Persona game on the Switch. mm-hmm. And now apparently they have one incoming.
There By the go. Way, that mystery that Joker, solved.
Yeah, tried that Joker character. Really good.
Really? Yeah. I haven't fired up Smash Brothers for a long while, actually.
I don't understand Persona in the slightest. I've never gotten into it, but that's a really good character and a really interesting stage that goes along with it. Changes colors and stuff. And yeah, I had fun.
Good.
Yeah, moving on. There is an Android version of Mario Kart coming called Mario Kart Tour. Nintendo have advertised that they have a closed beta in the works, which you can sign up.
Microtransactions, ho!
Most probably. Most likely. And you can sign up for the game's beta if you do so before May the 7th through the official game's website. And the beta is also scheduled to go live from the 22nd of May till the 4th of June, but they have added a little caveat that the dates are subject to change.
Yep. So if you want to go and sign up for that, it's MarioKartTour.com. That's all one word. Then head there, and then you'll see a little QR code. You ought to do a thing.
Yes. There's limited spaces as well, obviously. So if you're interested, then you'll want to jump in for that as soon as possible.
Absolutely. And it's only in Japan and the States at the moment. Supported OS is Android. And the very descriptive note is that it excludes certain devices. Whether your device is one of those devices is all part of the fun.
What if you've got a Galaxy S1?
Dunno.
Is that supported, Dan?
Is it a certain device?
Yes.
Good then. Probably is excluded.
Okay.
Yeah. Why not?
All right. I got into the Blades, the Elder Scroll Blades beta.
Oh, did you? I was thinking about getting that on my iPhone, but I hear it's a hot mess of microtransactions.
I've heard that too. I've been in the beta for about a month, but every time I try to fire it up, it won't let me into my Bethesda account, and I don't want to start a new one, and I keep messing around to get it reset, and it's not working, and I don't know why. So I've not played any of that beta at all, and then I forgot about it.
Hey, well, good. That is a cool story. Thank you, Coleman.
Yeah, I just remembered about, and then all the stories started coming out about all the problems of it. I went, eh, probably can't be bothered then anyway.
So, yeah.
Win some, lose some.
Hey-ho.
A couple of release dates for this week as well. Super Mario Maker 2, which I'm very excited about. Ooh. And is the single reason that Kev may be picking up a Switch. That is going to launch on the 28th of June on Nintendo Switch.
That's not that far away, actually.
No, not at all. And I'm really looking forward to that because I really liked Super Mario Maker. I only rented that game and didn't really get a lot of time with it, but I want to pick up Super Mario Maker 2 and then go back to banging my head against the wall trying to solve any of the levels that Kev builds and challenges me to do. So there we go.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, the first Super Mario Maker very, very, very nearly made me pick up a Wii U. I'm not going to lie. Very nearly, just for that.
It was very good.
Yeah. And I obviously never played it, but everything I heard about it just sounded fantastic. So, yeah. No, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
The only complaint I'd have with that game is that all the items and things that you use to build your levels, they would unlock over time, depending on time you've played, times you've logged in, all these different caveats for things to unlock, and that really annoyed me, because I want the things to make my level. I know what I want to make, but I need the things. And again, I rented it, so I didn't get time to unlock everything. I'm really hoping they don't do that with Super Mario Maker 2. And I hope that the levels...
in which we live, sadly.
Yeah, and it'd be really nice if they take those creator levels from the first game and move them forwards, which I think I heard somewhere that they're doing. I don't know.
Can't see technologically why it would be that complicated.
No, it's basically a port that has more stuff added.
Yeah. I think, although I would hope in terms of kind of, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this turns up on mobile devices as well. You know the Super Mario Run?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Super Mario Run Maker that's full of microtransactions for level components. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
That
I
won't
really
happen.
No,
I think they wound down on Run.
I remember a world where people are saying Sonic on a Nintendo console, never going to happen. What happened? Sonic on a bloody Nintendo console. So I will have you put an absolute stuff in your cake hole, young man.
By the way, they timed that at a very wrong time. They basically announced Sonic and Mario at the Olympics on the Wii and went, there you go, Sonic and Mario together at last. Look at them doing the
Ebony
friendly competitions and stuff.
And Ivory.
A few months later, they announced Sonic in Smash Brothers Brawl, I think it was, on the Wii. They should have done that first. Gone the first time that Sonic is on the Nintendo, he's fighting Mario. That would have been brilliant. Nintendo together with Mario.
Young Dan would have probably quite enjoyed smashing the crap out of Sonic with Mario, actually.
No. As a Sega boy, I would have been enjoying smashing the hell out of Mario or Sonic, which I think I did. That might have been the first thing I did.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, Nintendo's totally better and all that. And if you come at me with any of this blast processing nonsense, I will take that Mega Drive and shove it up your ass.
But Dan, Sega does what Nintendo don't. Nintendo doesn't. And then a guy in a Crash Bandicoot costume turns up shouting through a megaphone.
Yeah,
90s!
Seriously, if you're bored, go back and watch 90s video game adverts. They're the most incredible thing.
Yeah.
They actually encapsulate everything about the 90s. It's incredible.
They do a better job of encapsulating the 90s than Captain Marvel does.
Indeed.
There you go.
Youch.
Hey, guys, it's the 90s. Remember Blockbuster? Guys, it's the 90s. Computers were slow.
Oh, it's the 90s. Everything. You thought nothing was quite as the 80s, but it
guys,
turns out it was actually more shit.
Remember Hole? Do you remember Hole in the 90s, guys?
Oh, God.
Do you remember Nirvana, guys? It's the 90s.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where to go with this, so let's talk about something else. Excellent. Starlink battle for Atlas.
Yeah, I put this in for Tim, and he's not here, sadly.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, so there's a Crimson Moon update, which I think is the free update. That goes live on the 30th of April, and also that launches alongside a surprise PC release of the game.
Say what?
Yeah, which we didn't know about.
That's blindsided me completely.
Yeah, they recently did an announcement as well saying that they're not going to make any more toys for that game. They're just going to do everything digital now, which is probably sensible because those toys very quickly went down to from like £65 a box to £15 a box because all these warehouses were stocked full of plastic X-Fighters and Starfighters and other tat. They look cool, but I did not want to attach that to my Switch to play the game. I want to play it all digital. So I might pick this up.
And to be fair, their profit margins are going to be far better doing that, sadly.
Yeah. I mean, it is a good game. I had fun playing it with Tim. Had I used that entirely as a handheld game, I probably would have really gotten into that. There's also going to be some new Star Fox content on the Switch version, which adds pilots and ships and stories and weapons and all other manner of cool things. So yeah, free update, paid update, and a surprise PC launch.
Anthropomorphized rabbits? Is there
going to
be more anthropomorphized rabbits?
I mean, you do see that. That is one of the cool things in the game. Is if you play as any of the regular characters in that game, they've got some form of special attack, like a giant laser or something. If you play as Fox McCloud, you do your special, it starts playing the old school da 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 da,
and then amazing
and then Slippy and Peppy and Falco, they all come in their ships and start attacking, and it's really cool. It's the greatest Star Fox game in quite a long time, because the one on the Wii U was quite cack.
Yes, and actually, unsurprisingly, the system requirements on PC are pretty easy. You can, if you want to play it at 30 FPS at 1080p, you can get away with a 7-year-old processor, 8 gig of RAM, and a graphics card from about 5 generations ago.
Oh, that bodes well for me.
Yeah, so you might be able to play it.
There we go.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and it goes all the way out to 4K at 6 frames a second, should that be your thing.
Wow.
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 All of the gigaflopses. Yes, so I might actually check that out on PC, to be fair.
Yeah, I would. I'd recommend it on the Nintendo Switch purely just for because the Star Fox stuff is exclusive to the Nintendo Switch version.
Okay.
And that is the best stuff in the game.
Blimey. I kind of wonder if there would be crossplay on that. Do you think?
I don't think there is.
That's a shame.
Yeah. I didn't put this on the agenda, but I will quickly add the E3 is coming up. It's not called the E3, it's called E3.
The E3s is
coming up, and you may have remembered, because people seem to be pulling out left, right, and centre over the last few years, and this year it is Sony PlayStation.
Damn you, Catholic Church!
PlayStation isn't going to be doing a conference this year, and people have been wondering what's going to happen to that slot. And Square Enix has stepped up and taken the plate, which is exciting, because last year Square Enix didn't really have much to show. They just showed some trailers stitched together, and that was it. There wasn't really a much conference about it. There wasn't anything live. It was a lesser Nintendo Direct, like with no presentation or anything. Just literally, here's half an hour of trailers, and we out. If they're actually doing a proper presentation, and they've got some cool stuff in the works, and I'm really itching to find out more about the Avengers game that Crystal Dynamics have been working on for quite some time, because we had a teaser 2 years ago, and we still haven't heard anything about it. Bring it on.
Bring it on. it on. Bring whatever that may be, bring it on.
I was secretly hoping no one would take that slot and I could get an early night or earlier night.
Nope. There must be news being delivered, no matter how pointless or marginally interesting. It must happen.
I got to figure out how we're covering it this year. I need to find out if we have enough stuff for the big E3 show this year or not.
Yeah, I don't. Well, it's kind of a what's E3's in a really weird place these days.
Mm.
It's like, I think a lot of it's actually going to be before the event itself. All the big news, to be fair,
probably.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I mean, we kind of talked about this a couple of years ago, weren't we? You know, is it quote unquote the death of E3? But actually, I really think it's days are numbered now. I really do.
I mean, it seems. I think the next generation is going to be the one that tells us if we keep E3 or not, or if E3 becomes a lesser event, because they are making that transition of being the, hey, this is where all the announcements are, to being, this is the now a public event. You can pay to go and you play all the games. And we really haven't figured out how to do this properly because everyone's complaining about overcrowding and sweaty, smelly floors and all this kind of problem. So yeah, I think it's going to depend on the next two console generations, if they both stick around with E3, if PlayStation go back, if E3 stick, if Xbox stick around, or if any more people go off and do their own thing. So we'll see. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think, well, that, I reckon, Colm, is about it for points of interest. My no longer have a point that is interested.
Well, it's done. All the interests have been pointed at.
Indeed. I now have a flaccid of interest.
Good.
I thought you'd like to know that. So I suppose what we've done, played, answer. The short answer of this is not a great deal, because it's the 25th of April today, which is when the new SteamWorld game comes out. So I will be picking that up and probably playing that a bit this weekend and talking about it next week, as I'm sure Tim and Coltman will be as well.
I'm not grabbing that one, but I've got not really much to talk about, because the thing I've been playing, I can't talk about for a couple of weeks.
You tease.
Yeah, and the thing I want to be playing as well doesn't come out till tomorrow, so there we go.
Yeah, you tease. Yeah. But breaking news, Coltman.
Go on then.
Anthem is slightly less broken, but is still really broken.
How less broken?
Well, they did a patch where you can do such mind-bending things that weren't in the game at launch, like change your weapon loadout.
Ooh.
In the middle of a game.
Ooh.
Yeah, right?
So, what, on the fly in the middle of a mission?
Yeah, you couldn't do that before.
Oh.
Seriously, you can do that.
Oh. Oh, mm-hmm. Wait, wasn't this the thing? Oh, no, wait. What was the one that really weirded me out? Was it you? When you get your rewards, you have to wait until you finish the mission before you can actually pick up new weapons and stuff?
That, I believe, is still the case.
Oh, I hate that.
You can launch a new mission from the expedition screen, which you couldn't do before after completing another one. The numbers on the items now actually more closely reflect what the numbers may be, but the underlying numbers are still moderately meaningless because, in bigger numbers doesn't equal bigger damage. The game is still messed up. It's really messed up. And they had a live stream to kind of show off this new patch, and it all went very wrong very, very quickly. Apparently, the BioWare team getting quite huffy with chat, which basically was spamming, where's the loot? Where's the loot? Where's the loot? And I'm like, all right, fuck, we'll open a chest. We'll open a chest on stream. And it deposited a four uncommon
a
items.
Moth. A moth flew out the chest.
It was literally, I think when Destiny 2 hit its low was when they were doing revealing Curse of Osiris, the second expansion. I went, yes, this public event is the most rewarding you've ever seen in Destiny. There are two chests. We're going to open both of those chests. The first chest gave you like a token, which you need like 100 of to do anything with. And then the other one gave two blue items. So it was there, very much there, two tokens in the blue moment. So
that's my favorite Beck song, by the way.
Is it two tokens in the blue? It is a classic. If I ever do a video games covers band, it would be called Two Tokens in the Blue as well.
That's a good one. I like that.
I like it. Two Tokens of Blue. But it's, yeah, poor old BioWare having a rough time and they're not making it any better for themselves. And are kind of descending into a little bit of a... A little bit of a, it's us versus them now. It seems to, they kind of have really massively dialed back on their interactions with the community.
Are they going a little bit dice at the break of Battlefront 2?
A bit.
Ooh, that's not good.
No. I feel very sorry for them. I feel, ultimately, I just feel really sad for Anthem because it should have been great.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions regarding
Yes.
that. So we spoke before we started recording. I said that one of the funniest things I read this week was, I didn't read the article itself, but the headline made me laugh where they'd written Anthem update now available or something. And then, you know, a little bit later when reading the same site, they'd written update features missing or something. And I just made me giggle a bit. What features are missing?
I'm struggling to find exact things that are missing, but every time they try and quote unquote fix stuff, they break more than they fix. So after this latest patch, apparently the free play mode crashes after 30 minutes.
Right.
Some of the lower tier items have better stats than the higher tier items.
Okay. Is that still a problem?
Yeah, it is a bit. And yeah, it's just embarrassing. And the other thing they've done as well is all of their roadmaps being delayed while I try and
fix the initial release thing.
Yeah, so and to give you an idea of how dire things are, so usually after a kind of a big kind of update to a game, you often see a big spike in Twitch activity as people stream kind of new version of the game, trying to find cool new things to do. It looks like Anthem's Twitch viewership peaked at about 391.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a shame because I do want to play Anthem, but I want it to work properly.
Oh, there are some... I mean, it has some really great moments in it, Anthem. It really, really, really does. But I don't know. I don't know how it... I don't know how it got released in the state that it is. And it's just very sad. That's all. Because it could and should be a great game, but it isn't.
It was, I think, Keza McDonald. I was listening to her on a show. And she was talking about kind of this... We've got this... big kind of groundswell of games as services at the moment, and they've all kind of got their own hook to get you into it. But the problem with Anthem is it's so bare bones, is it exposes what the mechanics are to make a games of service, and it's not enough, and it then kind of breaks other games of services around you because you're going, it's like when MMOs came out with no decent features. It was like, okay, so go hit a sheep 10 times, come back to NPC, gain key, go out, hit sheep 20 times, come back, get second key, that kind of thing. You kind of feel like running through the maze to get the treat, and it's not really that fulfilling.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's, you know, it really is kind of, I think the problem is it just feels so awfully derivative and, you know, designed by numbers. And I think a lot of it is that it was designed by a committee doesn't help, but, you know, it really is not in a fun place to play.
It's a shame. I do hope it does catch up because I do want to jump in. I enjoyed flying, you know, but I need more than flying. I need more than pretending I'm Iron Man, because there's an Iron Man VR game coming, so I'll get my Iron Man thrill through that. And also other Marvel games. But yeah, the other question I had about Anthem is, it still blue screening PlayStation 4s?
No, apparently not. I think I think what happened with that was that it was just inefficiently coded.
Yeah.
So
That'll do it.
overheated PlayStations is basically the PlayStation runs hot at the best of time, but it made it so hot that it powered itself off.
See, that wouldn't explain the blue screen crash, because I've had a PlayStation overheat and it literally just shuts down.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Yeah. God knows, really.
We don't know.
I don't know. I know. So currently, there. How many? So Anthem is on Twitch as we speak, has 1,100 viewers, which is less than Super Mario World, which is at 1,900.
Wow.
Yep, but it less than what else is there? The same as Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past.
Yeah, but they're all SNES games, and that's just people watching, spamming the chat with, "Is this on the Switch yet?"
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. Less than Chess, which has got 1,900 viewers. Yep. Less than Chess.
Anthem. Less than Chess.
Less than Chess.
I want that on a poster.
What other games are there that really shouldn't have as much viewership as it does?
Where's Buster Groove faring in this?
Buster Groove?
No one's twitching
Buster
Groove.
I'll get you back to that.
There are
some games that aren't getting much. Worst Forza Horizon only got 460 viewers. That's a corking game.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
I want to stream Buster Groove.
Well, yes, I digress. Hello, cat. What do you want? Meow. Good. Brilliant. Hello, viewers. That was my cat.
Listeners.
It could be viewers as well. They could be looking at their MP3 device of choice.
Maybe.
I know. What else we got? Guess what? I've been playing some Destiny 2. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise.
Its spring event is live, and it is basically kind of endless dungeon mode, but I think they've tuned it to be a bit too generous, where it's very similar to an event that was last year, where you go to the Infinite Forest, you kill the mans, that gives you more time to kill more mans, and when you finally run out of time, you've got to go kill some big mans, and then you get some loot. But it's quite easy to just, if you're with a half-decent team, you can never run out of time. Put it this way, it got to like, we got like an hour in on just a game I was playing with two random people, and kind of we all just started text chatting each other going, shall we just all just jump off the side of the level and just get to the boss?
This is getting boring now.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, it's fun times. There's a new gun, and Destiny 2, still Destiny 2.
Good.
That's about as far as it's got, really, this year. This week, not this year, this week. So, yeah, I promise to play a new game this week so I can actually talk about a new game.
No, that is good. And I will do the same. I'm going to go Days Gone because, mainly because of my morbid curiosity and because my girlfriend's obsession with zombies. Even though they're not zombies, they're freakers.
And you'll love decapitating a brain-eating thing of some indeterminate denomination.
I mean, there's freaker bears, and that does look kind of cool. Dan, without Tim here, I'm going to talk about a VR game.
No.
Well, I've got to fill the quota, you know. And it's a quick one. Yeah, I picked up Beat Saber, like I said I was going to. Beat Saber, if you don't know, I spoke about this.
How is Meat Saber?
Meat Saber is brilliant. You have
excellent
two cleavers, and you have to chop meat in time with the beat.
How
does this not exist?
Have you got to beat the meat? You got to beat the meat in time with the beat is what I think you really need to do.
I don't think that would fit into the family-friendly style of PlayStation.
Really?
Yeah,
I was just talking about tenderizing some kind of food you might want to have for your dinner, rather than bashing the bishop.
That's
taking
fine.
Captain Picard
I would totally
to warp
play
speed.
A, I would totally play a rhythm-based, move-controlled butcher game, though. That does sound entertaining in some way. This is a game where you play in VR and you have to use move controllers or some form of motion control on whatever VR device you're using, because this is on multiple platforms, and it will barrage you with techno music while blocks are flying towards your face, and you have two lightsabers, one blue, one red, and you can change colors, and you will slice in the directions that are labeled on each block. The reason I'm not going too in-depth is because there's not much to the game other than that. This is essentially Guitar Hero with lightsabers, and that's pretty cool. But also, this game did come out in like November on the PlayStation and way before that on PC as well. So if you've probably already heard about it at this point. Playing it on the PS4, I think it's a really good conversion to the PlayStation 4. I find a lot of the games that I've played on other platforms that come to PSVR, the biggest problem, biggest letdown is the moves and the camera of the PlayStation 4 as well. You tend to have problems of you'll aim one way and suddenly your hand starts floating off and you're like, oh yeah, the camera can't reach there. Okay. Put it back in a little bit. And it can be frustrating in a lot of games. Like I mentioned with Ghost Giant last week, Beat Saber doesn't seem to have that problem because it's a very limited scale you're working with anyway. It's a fun way to get some exercise while playing a video game.
And while beating the meat.
Sadly, it's, I mean, cause they're all techno tunes and they're not really stuff that, I think a lot of them are made for the game anyway. There's not really, you know, you're going to be like,
are there air horns?
I don't think there are. But like, I'd play this to some 90s dance mix or something. You know, I want
it's
some.
It's your boy. I want some the meat MC's grubble double.
I would like a version of this, which I'm sure there's hacks out there on the PS4, but sorry, on the PC versions, but. I would like a version of this with more notable music. So I do love me a rhythm game, but if I don't know any of the tunes and it gets a bit boring for me, it might as well be background music.
Beethoven's Fifth, that'd be right up there.
I'd totally do that.
Get your groove onto that.
I could do that.
What else could you get? Yeah.
But Beat Saber, again, like Ghost Giant, this is a game you have to have the Move controllers for if you're buying it on the PS4. So if you just have the headset and a controller, it won't work. But yeah, it works very well. I had a friend of mine come over the weekend and I introduced him to some VR. He'd never played anything VR related before. He really enjoyed Beat Saber, said it was better than Guitar Hero, which he used to like before that. And then he took the headset off, sat down for a minute, and then got a crippling headache from playing a neon-lit VR game. But afterwards, when he felt a bit better, we tried some other games and he quite got into it. So,
I have a question.
Some little taxing ones, yeah.
Who did the furthest projectile vomit?
No one vomited.
Ah, that's always disappointing. Those VR stories are always more fun when there's vomiting involved.
I know, Dan. I also picked up Superhot VR, but I'm having some issues with, same as I had around Tim's, but even more so apparently here. I'm struggling to get the camera set up in the right position to where it's a playable game, because at the moment,
oh really,
yeah, things keep flying away when I'm using them and it's very irritating. So I will have, well, we've spoken about that game to death on the show before. It's one of my favorite VR games when it works, but it's quite taxing on the PS4, on the PlayStation VR with the Move controllers. So I'm gonna have to do some jiggery pokery to try to get that one to work. But the best platform,
jiggery pokery
is the word of the week. I much prefer that game on the Vive than I do on the PlayStation VR, but I think if you've played it only on the PlayStation VR, then it's still a very good game, and if you have nothing else to compare it to.
I mean, just Superhot by itself is a corking. If you haven't ever played Superhot, just go and get it, because it's fantastic. It's the bestest thing ever.
Well, what I love about Superhot without the VR is when you can put, because if you don't know, Superhot is a game where you have to take out, you're in like a computer simulation. All the objects that are black objects are ones that you can interact with. And there are, you're in white rooms with kind of gray to white objects around you. And then a bunch of orange dudes that are trying to kill you or rush at you or hit you or some form of maim you. And the idea is to take out all the orange dudes. The hook is they can only move when you move. So you can stay still and then kind of observe around the room what object you can throw at them, or if they've got a gun, like, could you, I don't know, pick up something to block a bullet and throw at them, and then take their gun and take out someone else, and all these interesting ways.
Or, the really or, cool or just thing a about, fantasy if you've or if you've emptied your gun, you then just lob it at them. It's
the
fantastic.
Gun. Yeah, and they shatter when you hit them. That's what
oh,
I really
it's
like
such a good.
Well.
I might go and play some of that later on. Actually,
the VR version of that isn't a VR mode for the game. It is a completely different game built from the ground up for VR, and it is very entertaining when it works. But the what I miss in the VR version that is in the regular version is when you complete a level, it kind of runs through what all your actions at a proper sequence time, and you look like you're amazing, like you're John Wick or something. But yeah, it those both very good games. And if you get, I think the PS4, they do like a double pack for both of them as well. So yeah.
Yeah, go pick it up. Try. Great, great game.
Yeah, both versions of the games.
And one of the few things I will countenance being talked about in a VR-related way.
There you go. I'm going to try play Days Gone for next week.
I shall try and play the Steamworld thing if Tim will let me get a word in edgeways. But the way I view it, it's an insurance policy because Tim will spend most of it talking about the menus, so I can actually talk about the actual game.
Yeah, that's it. You can do what I do when me and Tim played the same game. Let him talk for the first 20 minutes and then just sort of round that off with, I have also played it. It is good.
It is
good and stuff, and that yo and ting. Tim did want us to mention that he's going to be playing the new Steamworld game, and he's also playing Dreams. But he said he's played a lot of it, but he's not got particularly far in it, meaning he's probably messing around making stuff.
Yeah. The way that sounds a very dangerous game to let Tim talk about, because I actually think we would need an 18-hour podcast for him just to.
Again, I'm really intrigued and I really want to play with it, but I won't get anything done, so I need to clear my slate before I get into Dreams. Like I think as well they're putting the beta out at a reduced price, which when the full game comes out it will then go up in price, and the beta, you know, if you bought the beta then you know you keep it, you get the full version, which I'm tempted to buy it just for that reason and then wait and hold on to it, but I know if I have it on my hard drive I'm gonna play it and I won't stop. So I've got to hold off on that one. It looks too addictive and I really like Media Molecule stuff, so hey.
I think I'm kind of at my best with those kind of Media Molecule games where it's kind of had a chance to kind of for its community to kind of develop itself. Whereas I'm not great at creating things in those games, but I will happily while away some time playing all the awesome stuff that other people have made.
That's fair. I always found, like with Little Big Planet in particular, I liked to jump in. Like when that game came out, I jumped straight in and I liked creating things because I would create really bad things, but so was everyone else. Once the community took a hold, it's like, yeah, I'm not even going to bother. I'm just going to play what everyone else makes. I've got no chance.
Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to dipping my toes in a little water about that. So,
Apparently there's a big moderation problem going on. We're trying to remove all the penises from the created content in that game.
Hey, basically you can measure the success of a creative online game by its time to penis. The more successful the game will be, the shorter the time to penis.
See, I thought Media Molecule had that down, because when Tearaway came out on the Vita and you meet a squirrel and he's like, hey, I'm missing my crown. Could you make me a crown? And he gives you a bit of yellow paper and you're meant to cut a crown shape out. In the preview, when I was at an event, I cut out a dick because I thought it was funny, and then you stick it to the squirrel's head. And the woman who was demoing the game looked over my shoulder at that point and I just heard her go, and then when the game came out, not learning my lesson, I did exactly the same thing.
It's you from that bloody event.
No. About a few days later, or about a week later, I got an email from Media Molecule saying, you created content that we don't feel happy about you creating. Which was really weird because it wasn't a game where you uploaded your creations online or anything.
Oh my God, says that we couldn't help but notice that your first action in this wonderful game that we've made for you is to cock and balls. It went for the cock and balls.
Yeah. I got told off. Mummy and Daddy told me off.
Jesus.
But I still love Media Molecule.
Yeah, Media Molecule are awesome. So that's about it for games, I think, really.
Okay.
So, but we did ask people for some questions last week, so we really ought to address the questions.
Yeah, we've been asking for a while, and this is talk behind the scenes, but I will put it out there now. At some point, we are looking to phase out just mandatory shout-outs, and we would like to replace that with interactive, you know, with questions and points that people want to raise up and stuff, rather than, here's a person who said hello on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But saying that, here's a person who said hello on Facebook.
God damn it, Coleman.
We did get a couple of questions. So keep these rolling, because we do like this. So Daniel Barkham on Facebook came to us and said that he loves these podcasts.
Not a question.
WK. One thing he's curious about, though.
Not a question yet.
You keep referencing VRB as the place where you go to discuss VR stuff. I'm assuming that's you, Dan, because whenever Tim mentions VR, you go, nope, stick it on VRB.
Yep.
But so far, I've only been able to find 3 episodes of VRB, and the latest one is from last summer.
Sentence also not a question.
Yeah. Am I missing an entire podcast somewhere?
Question one.
I have a lot of fun with PSVR and would love to hear more thoughts and discussions from the podcaster with no name about it. Where do I do that? I did actually answer and tell him that I was going to put this to Tim. Tim conveniently broke his MacBook before starting the show, so he can't answer. I think we figured out why he's not here. But yes, VRB is one of the newer shows we launched along with Comics Inc. And they're kind of trying to... they're still cutting their teeth around their schedules and how things work. Comics Inc. in particular, they're all guys that you know really do podcasting before their show. VRB, they've got Kev, and Kev does the barrel cast, and that's been missing for over a year now, I think. So there's some stuff going on there as well. I think their problem is schedules, trying to get together and record, and there's been a couple of problems in the last 2 recordings that haven't gone out as well. So there should be something coming soon. I'm not sure. Now I have a PSVR, I'm sure I can go on and not talk.
Is half of the problem that Tim is having unsupervised time with technology, meaning that the chance of actually anything being recorded and working is pretty flipping slim?
I'm not sure. But yeah, I'm sure I'll have to step in at some point.
So you need to turn it on at the wall, Tim. You don't need to buy a new laptop every time the battery runs out, you silly man.
Fear not. It's not been launched and forgotten about because there's a platform for Tim to talk about VR without me and Dan talking over him. So you better believe that he wants to keep it around. It's just trying to work out how they're doing that. So yeah, cut your eyes and ears out. I'm sure it'll be about soon.
Your eyes and ears out, you just say?
Keep your eyes and ears out for news of podcasting stuff.
Yes.
Yes. And Jack's Champion, he asked how I'm doing with PSVR. Already spoke about that. But he also asked if we're doing Extra Life this year.
Which yes.
Dan is. There you go. I'm not sure yet.
I'm going to be doing my usual slightly wussy split it over 2 days thing, though.
Because you hate kids.
Yeah, yes. Yep. Hate kids, love cancer.
oh my God.
I am, of course, joking. That way you get 2 days worth of entertainment. And quite frankly, you do not want to be tuning into me when it's 4 in the morning and I'm being the most miserable man in the history of the world. At least that way, me and Kev can keep going over 2 days. And you'll probably get slightly more than 24 hours entertainment and mirth from us anyway.
I think I'm gonna wait to see what Tim wants to do because I quite enjoyed the there was 3 of us on one table all doing the stream at once and a little bit more tech prep into it this time. But if we can do that again this year, then yeah, I'll be fully up for that. The place I'm in's not quite stream ready yet, so and it most likely isn't going to be by Extra Lifetime either.
How so, Coleman?
Well, I don't really have a dedicated room for this kind of stuff. And, you know, I have a girlfriend that can't take time off work. And you know, if I'm up, then she's up. And neighbours are very close to the flat and all that kind of stuff.
You see, this is the beauty of the 2x12-hour shift thing.
Well, there is that.
When you become a gentleman of a certain age, you realise it will take me approximately 3 months to get over a night of missed sleep. So I'm just going to do it in 2. I'm going to drink copious amounts of tea and have super fun times along the way.
Yeah,
that's what you need to do, man.
I could do 2 12s, but I want to. We have to talk off screen and off mics and try to figure out how we're going to do this this year with me and Tim. If we're going to do the same thing as last year, or if we're going to go a different route. But we'll see.
As we say in the UK,
I like saying route. It annoys you. But I did find that was the first Extra Life where I'd finished and immediately got sick. So,
I tell you, it's the ravages of getting older. You just can't do this stuff anymore.
Tim always says, he goes, whenever I do a 24-hour stream, I get sick immediately after it, and so I don't want to do that. And he was going to go for the 2 12-hour until we came up with the idea of doing this big 24-hour thing together.
And then, so two of you got sick, basically.
Yeah, and instead I got horribly sick. So
Tim will only now stay awake if you were close by, just so you can absorb all the germs for him.
Yeah, probably.
So basically, with the bugs that were going around in Tim's house at that time, you Mr. Presidented it. You're like, no, Mr. President, let me take this bullet for you. And
that was it. Someone sneezed, and I dived in front of Tim.
Wow,
that was it.
What a guy! What a guy you are, Coleman.
Yeah, would have killed a lesser man.
I know. Right.
But I will say that Big Red Barrel is likely to be doing the streams as we always do each and every year. So there will be, you know, if there's not everyone on the front line of BRB there, then there will be other people from Big Red Barrel there, be that other shows or writers or just community members and stuff. And just community members and stuff all to get pitching in together to try and help some sick kids.
Yes, absolutely. We'll have more details closer to the time because it's not till Saturday, November the 2nd this year, 2019.
I'm washing my hair that day.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Damn it, Coleman.
Takes me about 12 hours.
Really? You don't have any hair. Are you washing each hair you've got individually?
Yeah, it takes an hour to do each individual hair, 12 hours.
Right, okay, fair enough. Jolly good. Yeah, what you did there, I see what Anywho, we did also have some people get back to us about name suggestions for the podcast with no name.
Yes.
So, Gabriel says Deek.
Okay, so the podcaster's new name is. So, wait, hold on. I have been Dan. I have been Deek.
No, don't like it.
Okay. Norman was here.
Yeah, Norman was here. He went for, what did he go for? Brigadier General Lee, basically. Now, there's a couple of things here. So, Brigadier General, I'm not sure Tim would reach that height, although that is a work experience, General, to be fair. But being General Lee, I'm not quite sure I like the connotations in terms of the Confederate flag. So, I
like the General Lee, but does that mean we then have to tattoo a Confederate flag on Tim's head?
I think that'd be an excellent way for him to raise money for charity in X-Rife this year.
Hold on. I have been Dan. I might have been Brigadier General Lee.
Basically.
Too many words for him. He'll get lost in between and start talking about menus.
But then we have from Dixon. Dixon.
That's a good name. From Dixon Tudip.
Tudip.
Yeah.
And Nelly both suggest Tim's, or the podcaster with no names, Canada name, which is Mr. November.
That is a deep pool. That is a deep pool and a good memory.
Yeah, Mr. November. I reckon it should be Mr. November. So from now on, Tim will be called Mr. November.
Hold on. I might have been Dan. I might have been Mr. November. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, it fits. It's fine.
Yeah. Or Mr. Nov.
M. Nov.
If you're in an office.
Yep.
Yeah, that work. I like that.
Mr. Mizzle Novizzle, alternatively.
I might have been November.
Yeah, I might have been. That is vaguely existential for Tim, isn't it? That is wow, man, I might have been a month. It's like, what?
I will say we had the contest last week for the codes and goodies, which Tim was dealing with. I don't think he's dealt with it. So I will say if you were one of the people that won a code or swag or something, then contact him on Twitter at BRBTim. I'd assume he's got his private messages open. If not, tweet him. Probably the best way to get hold of him.
And also just tweet him with, your name is now Mr. November, repeatedly.
Yeah, hashtag Mr. November.
If you could do that, that'd be fantastic.
I like that.
I'd also like to say, before we move on too quickly, just say thank you to Freya Goddard as well.
Oh, yeah,
For saying hello to us on the Facebooks.
Hello.
So, I think what else do we usually do? Tabletop Tuesday.
Something to do with Tuesdays. Tabletop Tuesday.
Do we know what's going on? Tim said he would try and update the agenda with details of the table and has promptly failed to do so.
Tim did say, so every Tuesday is a Tuesday, Tabletop Tuesday. We meet at the Loading Bar in Dalston in London in Loading, in Dalston in London in Loading. This time on the 30th of April is a Tuesday for Tabletop Tuesday, where we always play a featured game, and those that play the featured game could win a copy of the featured game, or in some cases, different prizes as well. That's my Tim bit done. Anyway, right. So on the 30th of April, we have a game that Tim doesn't want us announcing because this podcast usually comes out around about 10:30 on a Friday,
right?
If I didn't sleep and did it all properly, but he's doing some kind of competition on Twitter where he's going to announce what the game is by 2:00, I think. So we're going to hold out.
Right.
So keep an eye out on Tim's Twitter feed at BRBTim once again, and he will announce what the mystery game is on Friday.
And in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering where I am, I'm right here on the edge of my seat.
Well, I am on my tender hooks, my friend.
Are you now? Mm. I thought it was tender, not tender hooks.
No, I like tender hooks.
Tender hooks. Okay. Yeah. So talk me through. Why is your hook tender?
I forgot to use the ointment.
Right, okay. Whereabouts is this hook of yours located?
I mean, you're the doctor. You tell me.
Okay, no. But you've got a hook that you're putting ointment onto. There's quite a lot to unpack with this. So where is your hook?
I'll tell you what, right? You could be on the edge of your seat, and I'll be right here with bated breath.
Ooh, nice. Well, I think that's it. That's the show. I said we'd try and make it half an hour, but it appears to be at 59 minutes already. Holy moly.
Well,
so we're gonna...
when we cut out times, I'm sure it will be 31 minutes.
Excellent. Good. But I can't get those 29 minutes of my life back, though.
I'll send them to you.
Oh, thanks, mate.
It's all right.
Well, we better go because we've run out of stuff to talk about. I think next week there's going to be a bit more to talk about. And then, of course, the whole world's going to go crazy as E3 nears its way to our lives. So in some ways quite looking forward to what's going to be going on at E3 because I think it's new hardware season and it'll be super good fun times.
Such as everything video game related to this year, this is the least prepared I have been for E3 ever.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Yes. And I shall continue on my usual practices of slightly wigging it because I haven't played anything but Destiny 2.
Ah, well done.
I know, right? We better go. But not before we remind you to head on over to bigredbarrel.com or internet.com/bigredbarrel. Just put that /bigredbarrel after anything you choose and chances are you'll come and find us there. So that's your lot. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. We always appreciate it. And without further ado, I have been Dan.
I might have been Coleman.
Yes.
Mix of the two there.
Mr. November isn't here because it's April.
Does that mean we're going to get to podcast with the podcaster with no name once a year?
Oh, think of all the time we'll save.
Wow.
Oh, think of all the Thursday I'll get back. Wow. Vaguely Owen Wilson. Wow. Or go full on Greg Wallace. Wow. That's a Greg Wallace wow.
If we didn't have Tim around, then we would start researching
actual
menus,
things to talk
menus
about.
And stuff to talk about in place of Tim.
I wouldn't be able to tell you if it was the B button or the A button you had to press.
We'd miss him. That's what I'm trying to say.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we miss him.
Yeah.
Ish.
I mean, just don't go crazy.
No. I look forward to being told what the exact problem with his router was in excruciating detail next week. So anyway, thank you very much for downloading. Thank you very much for listening, if indeed you still are. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.